Welcome to the Revelation series. Last week, Mark preached the prologue, and we watched the video of John having the vision, and wasn't that amazing? Jesus revealed what is to come. Evil will eventually be judged. Who of you, when somebody's being really evil, you think, I can't wait for Judgment Day because they'll get what they deserve. I've done that. God is working at his cosmic plan. God is the ultimate authority over all. Can we remember that God is in control of everything? No man, no beast, God is in control of everything. Do you remember that after watching the video, you went and wrote, after reading Revelation 1, you went and wrote what God is to you and what you got out of that verse. Today is Act 1, and I'm speaking on the seven letters that Jesus wrote to the churches. And each letter was unique. They all look the same. They've got the same style, but he addressed each church as individuals. Okay, so who have you received a letter from somebody that was incredibly special and meant so much to you? Who's ever received a letter? An email? An SMS? A WhatsApp? Oh, now I see the smiles. Okay, would you like to share with the person sitting next to you what that letter meant to you and who it was from and? I'll give you 2 minutes. Okay, I was going to ask somebody to come and share, but I won't, because I know those are really personal, hey? But those letters are good. So Jesus writes seven letters to seven different churches, and there in these letters, he tells them what their strengths are, what their weaknesses were, what the opportunities are, and what their threats are. Okay. And there you can see the seven lampstands, and you can see there's seven tables with seven candles that represent, each table represents a different church. And you'll see the big church written there. Okay, now what I want you to do is I'm going to hand out one of these forms. And on these forms, it asks you, with your specific church in mind, you have to look for a strength. You have to work in groups. So you have to look for a strength. You have to look for a weakness, an opportunity, and a threat. And in your group, can you work out what those are? And then I'm going to ask you to, so you have to fill it out, and then I'm going to ask you to share with us. Okay, you have to write in your own words, Pastor Mark said. And when Pastor Mark says that, you do that. Okay, we're going to start. Now that we've explored the letters to the churches at your table, I want Ephesus, can you come up first to share? Okay, so what I need you to share is I need you to share one strength, Micah. Can you come up? I need you to share one strength, one weakness, one opportunity, and one threat. So it's one of each, okay?
Okay. One strength is that they are patient and enduring. A weakness is that they have a lack of love and persistency. Opportunity is from working hard, they will receive eternal life. And a threat is that they have false apostles in their church.
Okay, thank you. Okay, as I broke it down, okay, this was the loveless church, because they had forgotten their first love. They were doing stuff for God, they were reading their Bibles, they were doing Bible study, but they personally didn't have a relationship with God. And so God called them back to have that, to discover their first love. And so it doesn't matter how hard you work or how busy you are for God, if you miss out on that personal time with him, the quiet closet time, the time where you're sitting in your room praying and speaking to God, that's what he's called us to do. He says, you have forsaken your first love. So if any of these resonate with you, why don't you just keep it in your heart? Because I'm going to ask you at the end of the service to go home and to reflect on this. Like, God, what is my strength? What is my weakness? What opportunities do I have? And what threats do I face? So, okay, the next church would be Smyrna. Would you come up and just share one of each?
Our strengths were God is on our side. And then the weakness was we have false prophets, basically, because they would claim they're Jews when they're not. The opportunities is that if they remain in faith, they will be given the crown of life. And the threat is they could go to jail and the devil would test them.
Okay, very good. This was the persecuted church. They were facing persecution. As people became Christians, they would either lose their jobs, which meant that they didn't have money, so there was poverty, they couldn't eat. Many of them faced imprisonment, and then they would either face being burnt at a stake or being ripped apart by beasts. So being a Christian isn't always easy. Jesus knows where we're at. Remember, Jesus died on the cross. He was mocked and ridiculed, and then he died on a cross for us. And some of us will face it as well. But then Jesus says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. So at the end of it all, you will get the crown of life. How awesome is that? The next church is Pergamos.
Pergamos, their strengths were that they were loyal to God even though someone was killed. The weaknesses were that they committed sexual sins. The opportunities they had was to repent and confess their sins. The threats they had, false teachers and people coming from outside, coming to mess with them.
Yes, that's right. So this was the compromising church. There were a lot of idol worship. They had temples to different gods. And it was very hard for Christians at that time to not get sucked in to the idol worship. And so some of you hold to false teachings. And I think there's that whole thing where it says, you know, I can go to parties, I can drink, I can smoke, it's all cool. And then come to church on a Sunday and to youth on a Friday night, and I'm a Christian. And I think that's probably what they had to face was, no, being a Christian means I have to be different. So how much do we as Christians compromise our Christian faith? And I pray that if you feel that this is your where you struggle most, that you just take it to Jesus, because I know that he will forgive you and he will draw you closer to him. Thyatira.
Our strengths were their strengths were constant improvement in their love, faith, their service, and your patient endurance. And the weaknesses were commit sexual sins, to eat food offered to idols, and opportunities were give to each of whatever you deserve, morning star authority over all nations. And the threat were those who commit adultery will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away.
This was the corrupt church. Can you imagine being called a corrupt church? I think that's quite sad. You tolerate false prophets. There was a spirit at the time called Jezebel, and she was the prophetess of immorality, of sexual sin, and the church was allowing that in. And I think, to some extent, I've heard of kids and even Christian kids say, I can sleep around because everybody's doing it. I'm sure you've heard that, hey? Yes, no? Okay, yes. And so I think those are the kind of things that would creep into the church where it kind of watered down what God was saying. No, they were saying, oh, no, it's okay if you do that. Do I adopt worldly standards? And that's something that you need to ask yourself. Can I steal music from my friends on my phone? I see some people smiling. Can I do stuff like that? No, because it's called stealing. And even if everybody else is doing it around you, no, we can't do that. Sardis, can I have you come up?
Yes.
You represent the Church of Sardis.
Our strengths were, there were people who never pretended to be on fire. And then our weaknesses were, they never had a strong strength of belief. They acted as if they were in fire. And then opportunities, they can repent and follow God again and like walk in the right path which God created for them. And then threats were, they might not go to heaven if they don't repent.
Wow, that is very scary. So, this was called the dead church. I mean, you can see that nothing can happen in that church, except you'll get a headache when the church collapses. You have a reputation of being alive but are dead. And then if you read it in the scripture, it says, wake up. And this church, they did everything for Christ. I've just lost my train of thought. They pretended to be on fire for God. And we know people like that who at school say they're Christians, but you know that outside of school they're not Christians. You can, you know, maybe the way they speak, maybe they swear, maybe they go to hectic parties, and yet at school they say, I'm a Christian. And so, but you've got to remember that maybe we can fool others. Maybe we can fool our friends at church, but when we're in our closet, we can't fool ourselves, and we definitely can't fool God. And so, we need to wake up if we're at this church. Philadelphia.
Our strengths are they're obedient, and they're an obedient church. The weaknesses are that they have little strength, and the opportunities is that God is promising them protection from the people that are worshiping Satan, and the threats are that people that are worshiping Satan might intervene with their church's preachings and might steal their crown as a church.
Thank you. Isn't this looks like a live church, doesn't it? This looks like a... Sorry, wrong way. Okay, doesn't this look like a happy church? And this is a faithful church. And it looks like a faithful church. Hey, it's modest. It looks like a cool church to be in. Because you have persevered, I will protect you. Most of these churches suffered persecution because of the Greeks bringing in their gods and stuff. So, and God promised to give them victory over accusers and mockers, just like Jesus. Remember Jesus? He was mocked, and then he was beaten, and then he was crucified. And what happened when he died? The curtain was split in half, it went dark, and what did the people around him say? Oh, surely this is the Son of God. And Jesus promises to do the same, that when you're being mocked and persecuted, you'll be fine. I just remembered a story of when I was in high school, and I was accused of stealing something on a newspaper in one of my exams, or something that I'd written very similar to somebody else. I don't really remember the story very well, but I remember the only thing I really remembered was that my whole class stood up and said, "Ma'am, it's not Debbie. Debbie's a Christian, and we know that she wouldn't do that." And Jesus vindicated me through my classmates. And if you stand up for him, he'll stand up for you. He's promised it in his word time and time again. Laodicea, this is our seventh church, our last church.
The message to the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the God's new creation. The strength of Laodicea, the strength of God in the people need to find. Without life, we'd have no motivation to be strong. This strength is something that should be inevitable. The weakness. They are wretched and miserable. They're in between, poor, blind, and naked. Weakness comes in people who have no faith, hope, basically people who don't believe. Opportunities. To repent to Jesus, is there ready to receive them? Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. The threats. Trusting in the money too much. God will disown them, but because you're merely lukewarm, neither the one nor the other, I will spit you out of my mouth.
Thank you. I will spit you out of my mouth. This was a lukewarm church. And the interesting story about this church is that it was built on a hill, and so it was very safe from being attacked by anybody. And they were so prosperous, and the church was prosperous, they lacked nothing. And so they thought this was God blessing them. In fact, all that happened is that they became lukewarm because they weren't challenged to be anything or do anything. They didn't have lack. So Jesus says, because you are lukewarm, I'll spit you out. It's like drinking a can of lukewarm Coke. Who likes lukewarm Coke? None of us. When you take a sip, I think when it's lukewarm, it's actually extra fizzy, and you'll spit it out. It's really gross. And Jesus says, we like that if we're lukewarm. You know, if we're sitting on the fence, we don't believe this, but we're not sure if we believe that, you know. If you are lukewarm, it's a challenge to you because Jesus will spit you out when the time is right. Now, what I want you to do is I want you in your groups to think of what are our strengths as a youth group of his youth. What is our strength? What is our weakness? What are our opportunities? And then what are our threats? And I can give you 5 minutes to do that. So if you can chat amongst yourself quickly. And then I'll ask one or two just to report back. Thanks. Okay, so what I want to do is I will start with Ephesus, and I want you to come up, and I want you to share one strength, and that's all. Come, Ephesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we wrote as a strength is that we have many encouraging, motivating, faithful, helpful leaders in our youth group who always make an effort to, you know, to mentor people, minister to people, and yeah, also we said family environment because of Zoe. Yeah, that's really why we said that. Yeah, anyway, cool. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to keep these. We want them. Okay, Tama, Smyrna. Where are you going? Go. Smyrna.
You have to do the weakness. Okay, one of the weaknesses that we said was the lack of fellowship between services and that sometimes people are easily distracted.
Wow. Okay. And now we want Persimmon. And we want you to share opportunities. What opportunities have we got?
Opportunities to help others and share the word of God in school.
So I'll share strength. We have good leadership and we use the Bible. So yeah.
And a threat, yeah.
Okay, our threat is that, okay, because we're young, like, people can persuade us to do things that we wouldn't do. And, like, there are a lot of people that tell us things, and, like, it can split us, like, within our faith. So, like, people can turn us into, like, hypocrites.
Thyatira, who's going to come share from that table, can you share a strength with us?
This group has a strong belief in God.
Yes, God is our strength. Okay, the last table. Okay, and could you share an opportunity?
To become amazing individuals who depend on God alone and to achieve amazing things.
Amen. Can I have that piece of paper? Okay, so we know that this letter was written to the church in the Bible 2,000 years ago. We know that it's pointing to the future, and we know that it's... It's relevant for us now as well. But more than that, it's relevant for me as an individual. And what I want you to take home is, while people were speaking, there were things that you felt God was speaking to you. Like maybe you're lukewarm, or maybe you've been persecuted and you know that God is with you. I want you, before this day is over, just to spend a few minutes with God and just say, God, how do you see me? What are my strengths, Lord? What are my weaknesses? Do I have any opportunities out there, Lord? And Lord, what is threatening me as a Christian today? Could you spend some time just with the Lord in your room on your own? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you know us. You know us, each one. You know our innermost thoughts, our innermost desires. And Lord, if we've let you down in any way, God, if we've disappointed you, we pray, Lord, that you will forgive us and that you'll bring us back to you. Lord, if we bring you joy, Lord, can you just fill us up with that joy and allow us just to fill others with your joy? God, I pray that you will work in our hearts, bring us to be the men and women that you've called us to be, Lord. And this week, may we live it out to, in every way, live it out to you, Lord, and that you may get all the glory. We pray this in your precious name, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And next week, in Act 2, we have Pastor Mark sharing the seven seals. And so I would like to see everybody here, okay? And have an awesome week. May God be with you and bless you. May his light shine upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.